May the meditations of our hearts and the words of my lips be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. 2 weeks ago, our youngest granddaughter, Emily, celebrated her fourth birthday. Emily's tall for her age when she runs up to you and launches herself at us with a big hug. We're nearly bowled over. Happy birthday, Emily. Grandma, Grandpa, what did you buy me? Where's my present? Beaming smiles of excitement and expectation. We had a conversation with Emily's mum, and the decision was for the girls, Emily, her mother and grandmother, to go shopping in 2 days' time. We gave Emily her birthday card with some money pinned to the inside. Now, four-year-olds don't fully grasp the concept of time soon, not quite yet in 2 days. I'm certain though in a few more years the word shopping and the hope for activity will be an anticipated part of Emily's life. However, here now today, this is my birthday. Grandma, Grandpa, what did you buy me? Clearly, we didn't think this strategy through. Our explanation of soon in a few days didn't quite connect. The money was well received though. Wow, thank you. Lovely little girl. We continue to be blessed by her effervescence, exhausted as it is, wanting to be and do now. In a sense, here in this story can be found images of waiting, wondering, and not quite knowing, but with a flicker of hope and looking forward to what might be soon. Jesus promised his disciples. Today in churches throughout the world, in the liturgical life of the church, folk will celebrate Pentecost Sunday. Thank you for all those who faithfully wore red today. Some will do this in new and creative ways. Pentecost has been referred to as the birthday of the church. In the past, I've seen huge birthday cakes with candles, great for morning teas. And during our planning for today's service, I was quietly waiting to see if any of the team were going to suggest we bake a cake for the occasion. There was a pregnant pause and a silence as we quickly skipped over that concept. I can't say that I blame them. I was quietly relieved. In some ways, it can trivialise the event. Let's bake a cake 10 times the size of Emily's frozen-themed birthday cake. The author of Luke's Gospel and Acts are one and the same. The book of Acts picks up where the Gospel concludes. And here in today's reading, we hear the spectacular story of Pentecost, the birth of the church, new life, new beginnings. No other writers, however, in the New Testament mentions Pentecost. Only Luke tells the empowering gift of the Holy Spirit occurring at the same time as the Jewish feast of Pentecost. This special occasion of the Jewish faith tradition, also known as the Feast of Weeks, concludes the period that the Jewish feast, the Passover, started, which we Christians called Easter, and ending in the Feast of Pentecost. The festival, for all those gathered from the surrounding countries, was also set aside for a time of dedication and renewal, as in a new covenant or springtime of new beginnings. And how convenient and timely for us here this morning as we too celebrate the dedication and commissioning not only of the church council but for us all for the year ahead. Last Sunday was the seventh Sunday after Easter. Doesn't time fly? I doubt though that the disciples at the time, they felt the same way. Perhaps there would have been doubt and a sense of fear in a quiet period of waiting with uncertainty and not knowing. He said he would return. Was it all for nothing? Not written, but an assumed conversation. So on the day of Pentecost, there was a sound of rushing wind, tongues of fire, folk from all over the region and from different countries, countries whose name we have trouble pronouncing, unless you Google it. They all spoke in different languages. But on this day, a day of new beginnings, they all heard the one message, joined and united, a blessing, a gift, the Holy Spirit manifest, made known, the glue that unites and connects, bringing new life and new possibilities. This was the birthday of the church. Some today, though throughout the world, might still be waiting, uncertain and afraid of the unknown mystery, God's gift to the church, the Holy Spirit. I understand that in some faith traditions, the Holy Spirit doesn't get a Guernsey, the silent partner in a 3-in-1 relationship. Whatever you do, don't mention the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, there are differences in the telling of the story of the coming of the Spirit. In this difference, there can be a richness found in the diversity of the telling. In the Gospel of John, we read how Jesus gives the Spirit to the disciples, not on Pentecost, but on Easter, when the risen Christ breathes on them and declares, "Receive the Holy Spirit," thus empowering them for mission. The Spirit has always been present, not exclusively held back until the day of Pentecost. We read in Genesis where the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. Then again, there is the description of God breathing into the human nostrils the breath of life. There is a wordplay of spirit, breath, and wind. Then again, in a reading that we heard from the psalmist for the same lectionary readings, "When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth." Another lectionary reading set from today for today, it comes from Romans, in verses 26-27 of chapter 8. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." From Luke's visually spectacular telling of the story of Spirit coming from heaven like a violent wind and tongues of fire, to the quiet breathing into his disciples, "Receive the Holy Spirit." In today's gospel reading, we have a continuation of Jesus' final departure discourse. In this conversation, Jesus is preparing the disciples for a time when he, Jesus, would no longer be with them. "But now I'm going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things." And over the past few Sundays, we've looked at various readings from John's gospel. These verses are familiar. "I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide, remain, stay, connected to me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. As my Father has loved me, so I love you." And the other, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." These are words of Jesus directed to his disciples, preparing them for a time when is yet to come, a time of struggles, a time when he would not be around. Earlier in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." And then, "You know where, to the place where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. So how can we know the way?" And then Jesus beautifully leads into the well-known, much-quoted disciples, scripture, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Again, here in today's readings, the disciples have heard Jesus say, "Soon I will leave you." We all, at some time, experience loss and grief in various forms. We may grieve the loss of what was, of what might be, and what might have been, a lost job opportunity, the conclusion of a life-giving, energizing career, a loss of relationship. Disciples were being prepared for the loss of this dynamic, life-giving, charismatic leader, friend and teacher. Why should it end? Can't it go on forever? It's been a few years since Jenny's mother passed away. Everyone called her Granny. Her children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, sons-in-law, friends. "How's Granny?" Granny became the glue for the family, the person who connected us through conversations, gatherings and birthdays. At these times, all who were able would come together. Granny had a special relationship with all she knew. In her later years, she took to writing poetry. Granny compiled a collection of poems about her family, capturing the essence of who they were. Our youngest daughter put together a book with some of these poems. A picture of Granny on the front there and a picture of each of us inside. "I didn't tell Jenny, this is Jenny," she said. It was a few years ago, not many. Forgive me. "She's 60 years old. What do I behold? The beauty still there. For clothes she has flair. A teacher by nature, from her I could learn. Alas, I don't have the energy she seems to burn. It's easy to see how much I do love her. For after all, I'm her ancient old mother. Sorry. In July 2012, Granny had a fall, fracturing her hip. In hospital, x-rays were taken. The medical team noticed that she was having trouble breathing. Further x-rays revealed she had pneumonia in both lungs, and nothing could be done for Granny except make her comfortable. The days following, family came to visit. At one stage, the room was packed. We had to play tag so each one had time with her. At the time of Granny's funeral, one family member was brave enough to say, "Things have changed. I guess we won't be coming together and gathering as much now that Granny's gone." Sad as it is to admit, that has been the case, and things might change, but Granny's presence and her ability to show an interest in each of us seemed to create a more intentional connectivity. I have photos of Granny in her later years of family gatherings, quietly smiling, watching, brooding over her family, each one at different times coming up and giving her a hug. This loss, this sense of loss, this grief, is this what was concerning the disciples? In that all they had experienced and had witnessed this was all about to come to an end. We don't know where you are going. Here in today's reading, we hear this assurance from Jesus, using poetic license here, but you won't be alone. I'm going to send you a gift, a helper, a comforter. In the quiet waiting of uncertainty and not fully knowing, there will always be doubt and questioning until God shows up. Show up he does, in unexpected ways, in unexpected places. Some 60 years after Pentecost, when God's Spirit was poured out, or breathed in, or rested upon the heads of the disciples, the writer of John's Gospel writes to a community still waiting, expecting the physical return of Jesus. They hear a slightly different version to that of Luke's. Jesus says, "When the advocate comes, whom I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf." The Greek word for the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of John's is paraklês. The literal translation is "one called alongside." Some have likened this understanding to that of a lawyer, one who speaks on behalf, coming alongside and defending, speaking words on their behalf. We heard this earlier in Romans with the reference in the prayer. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the very Spirit intercedes with gifts too deep for words. The Gospel of John is the only book that we will hear reference to the Advocate, where it is mentioned three times. Coming alongside, is it not this very thing to which we are all called and commissioned? God is love. We can't do it on our own. God's gift to the church, to us, is that of the Holy Spirit, the one that comes alongside. Jesus' presence in the world is made known through the Spirit coming alongside his disciples, providing the words to engage. The reality of this, for us, is that life is not easy. Stuff happens. We could all too easily wrap our remembering and the celebrating of this Sunday of Pentecost into beautiful paper with a ribbon, maybe bake a cake and put candles on it and sing happy birthday to the church. But Jesus' words for preparation for the disciples for the time when he would no longer be with them were intended not only for them but also for us. The Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. Jesus knew that the time ahead for them would be a time of persecution, hatred towards them. As the world hates me, so also will it hate you. Back to Emily's birthday gift. As promised, the girls, Emily, her mum and grandma, went shopping on the following Monday to buy a gift. Grandpa stayed home. Once again, Emily burst through the door, all excited with two huge white plastic bags. "What do you have there? Birthday presents. Let's see." It was suggested that we might wrap them up in a pretty paper. A frown formed on her brow. another wait, not yet, but soon. We decided against this, and she commenced, and there, then and there, to open her presence, her waiting was rewarded. The gift of God's Spirit was poured out on the church 2 millennia ago. The Spirit continues to give, renews, reshapes, grows and breaks through into people's lives in unexpected ways, in unexpected places. And then sometimes, in the quietness of our one-on-one connectedness with God the Father, when words fail, the Spirit knows the cry and the celebrations of the heart. You know, sometimes all we have to do is ask. May God continue to richly bless and renew you, the church, and the face of the earth. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.